Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested, and all thumbs up. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. I am here with my most beloved, most special person over here.
Oh my God. I love your intros. Hello, my love. It's Tawny. Thank you for being my favorite co-host ever.
Oh, you're the best. I can't thank you enough. So today we have a heavy topic, but an important topic. We haven't talked about in a very long time, which is grief. I think, you know, you might have heard me talking about having lost my mother at the end of last year. And, you know, that's one kind of grief. But Tawny has been experiencing a whole different sort of grief. You know, she's being brave enough and open enough to talk about what's been going on today. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Tawny, to sort of talk about what's been up.
Hello. Yes. It's been a rough, I guess, couple months now. There was a 3-week period. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks where I lost several people, either by suicide or through drug and alcohol problems. But it was really dark. It was like there was 2 or 3 weeks where I was constantly, it felt like I was constantly getting news that someone else had passed. And it was, you know, this was in the beginning of the year. And I was like, we're only a few months into the year, and I already know like 6 people who have died, and all from mental health related causes, whether they intentionally ended their own lives or their drug and alcohol abuse, you know, just slowly took their lives. You know, it was a really, really dark time. And I, you know, there was actually a time when every week I would meet with my therapist, and I would say, another friend died. And, you know, now, our barometer, every time we meet, I'm just like, okay, no one's died this week. No one has died this week.
It's unbelievable.
It was, you know, and I talked to you about it. I talked to my partner, Nick, about it, and my therapist. And it really was unbelievable how many people I knew. These were, you know, my friends and acquaintances from back in Waco, either people that I grew up with, people that I've known since elementary school and high school and, you know, have known most of my life, people that I used to drink with that I met maybe in my early 20s. And so it's just, I let myself feel my feelings, of course, but part of me really needed, I guess part of my grieving process was that I needed to make sense of, I was like, why is this happening? Why are so many millennials in Texas taking their own lives? Like what's going on? So, you know, I zoomed out from a to look at everything from a macro lens of like, okay, what do I know about Texas? I grew up there. You know, I knew that it is a mental health desert, as they say. There's not enough therapists and psychiatrists and social workers for the amount of people who need mental health support. That's one thing. I know that mental health support is also very stigmatized where I grew up, where we're often told to pray and your problem will go away, and not any no actions are being taken. So it's, you know, I guess for me, maybe just as a journalist, I needed to gather some facts to help me process why this is happening. But it's been absolutely devastating to see, you know, it felt like every time I logged into Facebook, there was another memorial happening. And I'm still processing. I'm still going through all of this. And this is why, you know, if you listen to our podcast regularly, Lisa and I have definitely talked a lot about this organization, To Write Love on Her Arms, because it's a suicide prevention outreach nonprofit. And Lisa and I are very into, like, we're buying t-shirts from them. I'm like advocating, like just really advocating for mental health wherever I can. And the whole thing, losing all of these people to something that could have been prevented, I feel like it's also reminding me why I do the work that I do. Because it can feel like I'm in my own mental health echo chamber. You know, I live in New York City. Most of my friends are sober. And even if they're not sober, they go to therapy and they're on medication. Like most, my immediate orbit is people that are prioritizing their mental health. So I am, this has really shaken me to realize that I forget what it's like to not be in this mental health bubble that I'm in. People are like, I knew that people were struggling, which is why we have this podcast, why I wrote the book, why I have the newsletter, all of this stuff. But there can be times when, you know, maybe Lisa, you'll relate to this. There's times when it feels like I'm repeating myself, you know, of like, you're not alone. You don't need to drink today, one day at a time. Right. Like, you know, we repeat these aphorisms and it's like, that's why we repeat them. You know, it's because people need to hear it. And even if they've heard it 100 times, the 101st time that they heard it, that's when they really needed to hear it, you know? So it's been a really difficult few months. And I guess I'm just still processing. And you've been so helpful listening. You know, you've been helpful. Our friend Simone Finch, who's been on the show a few times, has been great. You know, I'm really leaning into my resources. I'm talking to my friends and family and my therapist. I reached out to 988, that free mental health crisis hotline, for grief support. I'm reading about grief. I don't have any other word other than devastating to what it feels like to know that these people are gone.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I've been, from where I sat, it sort of all started, you know, it was one, and then it just kept coming. And it was like the cumulative effect of these like waves breaking on the shore, like I couldn't imagine it, because I have also lost friends to alcohol, drugs, by suicide. But never in this kind of rapid succession, for one, and never, you know, with it at this, to think about how young, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was like in their 30s.
Yeah.
or in even in their 20s, I think, you know, there's,
yeah,
you know, and to see that, that's it. It left me kind of at a loss. Like I didn't, I wished I had better words for you or better way to help, but it was one of these things where it was, and it continues to be, I'm sure for you, where it's just like, wow, that's a fucked up fact, you know?
It really is. And it just, you know, one of the, I guess we could say, I don't even want to say silver lining, but I guess the, you know, the internet brought you and I together, and many, me and many of my now sober friends brought us together. But I was looking, I'm a millennial. So what do? I go to social media, yeah, and I'm looking up grief, you know? And I connected with this woman who's now a friend. Her name's, she's a therapist here in New York. Her name is Gina Maffa. And she has a book coming out called Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go. And she's a therapist who specializes in grief. And this book is about grief. And, you know, I commented on one of her posts, and she had also lost several people to suicide in a short period of time. And we started talking about that. And we started DMing and then voice memoing, and we formed, you know, a very modern, yeah, friendship.
Yeah.
And apparently she's also interested in like the sober curious conversation. And so like I gave her the advanced copy of my book. She gave me an advanced copy of her book. So it's actually quite serendipitous. We're able to kind of help each other with what the other person wrote a book about, you know?
Yeah. That's good.
And I told, like, I would love to have her on the podcast when her book comes on. She's a therapist and author to talk about grief. But, and, you know, and another thing about, I guess, the increasing accessibility of the internet, I've actually been able to watch some of these funerals from here. You know, since Zoom, yeah, or since yeah, COVID, funerals are now live streamed and recorded. So I couldn't fly back to Texas to go to any of these funerals, but I was able to watch the recordings on my own time, which has been, I don't want to say helpful, but just like I was able to be there and, you know, be there and then like,
yeah,
donate to the GoFundMes to help. So some of these people had children, you know, and so like in the grieving in the modern age, you know, it's so different now. You're able to watch the Zoom of a funeral and then donate to a GoFundMe to help the kids that are left behind from this. And I don't, you know, it's not like it's not a good thing, but I guess it's just, I'm grateful that the internet is consistently providing these free resources to where you can still be connected without physically being there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's a really great point about being able to be connected and, you know, sort of be present for it, because first of all, it lets you, go through more of the experience that you would have if the person was here, right? You know, when you can't always be at the funeral, but also being able to see it online, being able to donate to a GoFundMe. I know and I think you're the same way as I am. When something bad happens, the first thought is sort of, what can I do about this? How can, yeah, I take, what action can I take, right? What can I do? And this allows you to not just sit there and be on your own, you know, thinking about this, but you're actually able to take the action of, I'm going to watch, I'm going to take this time. And there is something, I mean, people have funerals for a reason. There is a catharsis. There is a saying, yeah, goodbye in one way. There is ritual and something around that that's important. And to be able to contribute, you can't bring a plate of cookies over, but you can throw in, you know, a few bucks to a GoFundMe to try to help. So I think it's helpful to be able to, but we have a tendency, and I don't think it's just us. I think there is a tendency in a lot of people, and I know it's among like high achievers and people who are perfectionists and stressed, to be like, yeah, I know it was really sad. And yeah, it was like a bunch of people one after the other, but I'm okay now. Right. And to try and be like, you know, yeah, this was normal, and just move on as if, you know, how is it now that sort of is the spate at least is a little bit in the rearview mirror a little bit? Like how do you feel? Like is this something you're still talking to your therapist each week about? Is there something that you're still doing? Do you feel, you know, different than when you were really in that barrage? It was just like, you were like, I don't think I can take another one. I was like, you shouldn't have to. Like, no, this is not okay.
Yeah. That's a good question, because I'm glad we waited to do this episode, because I'm ready to talk about it now, but that doesn't mean, like you said, that doesn't mean I'm quote unquote okay. You know, there's still a very large part of me that is grieving. You know, one of these people in particular was incredibly special to me, and that it's been a tremendous loss, and I've still not been able to watch his funeral. I tried and I couldn't.
That's so okay.
I'm weirdly grateful that it's not like I have to watch it right now. You know, it's the type of thing where I'm like, exactly. Okay, there's the recording. When I'm ready, I can watch this. And I'm very appreciative of that. I don't want to say I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop, but I know that this is advice that our friend Simone Finch gave me. She was just like, this isn't going to be the last one. You know, she's like, you have a good amount of sobriety under your belt. Addiction is everywhere. And like, you're going to have more loss coming. So it's like, and I appreciated that of like, this is part of it. This is part of the mental health journey. This is part of the recovery journey, is some people really don't make it. You know, it makes me so fucking grateful for my recovery, for your recovery, for my partner's recovery, because this is a reminder that, you know, you and I, we talk about the benefits of sobriety and therapy and taking care of your mental health, but not everybody gets there. Some people truly, they don't make it. And that's, you know, Jim Morrison says, no one here gets out alive. And that's the reality of it. And I think I will be a little bit more prepared for the next one. People like, this is part of life. Death is part of life. And I don't know, maybe I'm just being very pragmatic right now, but it just feels like, yeah, I don't know. And I guess I'm very grateful that I've not lost anyone who is like significantly like a part of my daily life. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I've lost grandparents and I've lost friends, you know, but like the whole time I've been grieving, I've just been like, God, how am I going to handle when I lose my partner? What if something happens to Lisa? What about my parents? Like, you know, and like, that doesn't help. but I go there. Like, that is my, and I don't know, I guess I'm just rambling at this point, but it's hard. It's really fucking hard.
Yeah. And you're not rambling. I mean, this is absolutely, this is all like absolutely true. And I like, you know, Simone's advice, right? This won't be the last. It's true. And that's very pragmatic advice. But I think where you may be is that the pragmatic can exist alongside the emotional. The pragmatic of understanding, yeah, this isn't the last, doesn't mean this one doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean this doesn't, you know, cut me to the bone, right? And those things can both be there. I know, you know, I lost one of my best friends and I was shocked. I was 2 years sober and I was shocked. And I was like, you know, and he was someone who was in my life every day, you know, all the time. And I was completely turned upside down. And I didn't even realize it took me because I didn't have sort of the same tools. I don't know. I was most definitely not prepared for it. And, you know, that was when I learned, like, yeah, not everybody makes it. And it's not a pass on like where, you know, because we do or because we have up to today means that we have any guarantees on tomorrow. And also, but also that we, you know, I felt like, why couldn't I have done something? I should have been able to somehow, you know, do something.
Yeah.
I now know I couldn't have.
I know. And that's a tough one is my dear friend, James, who passed, he took his own life and he was in New York. I mean, he lived in Texas. He was a musician. And when he was in New York about a year ago, we tried to meet up and it didn't work out. And, you know, that was definitely my thought of like, I wish I would have canceled whatever I had so I could have hung out with James, you know, and so James could have met my partner and my partner could meet this really special person. And but I can't do that. But I am thinking of like, how can I commemorate him and what he meant to me? And so I'm playing around, you know, with some tattoo ideas. And I have three of my tattoos are of people of my three deceased family members, my grandparents. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, these people, like their legacy, they're living on, you know, my grandmother's art. My apartment is full of her artwork and I have one of her pieces tattooed on my arm. So, you know, it's like her legacy, that tattoo is still so gorgeous. I know. I love it. And I get so many compliments on this tattoo and I'm like, my grandmother painted it. And they're like, what? That's, you know,
I
want to do something similar for James. I don't know what, but you know, he was my rock and roll buddy ever since, like I've known him since, literally elementary school, but like, because, you know, mom and I moved from Northern California to Waco, Texas. So I was like, I'm like this heavy metal NorCal girl living in Waco, Texas, but he got me. He was also a heavy metal kid. We bonded over. We always had Kiss t-shirts on and like we just got each other. So it was like we saw each other in this really special way. We were these weirdos, these weird rocker kids in Central Texas. You know, I want to do something that maybe a tattoo of something Kiss related for him.
I was just going to say something Kiss related, right?
Yeah. And the Doors, like we talked about Kiss and the Doors all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I think like the grief can feel differently. It feels so different for each person when you lose somebody, right? Like, you know, I feel like when I think about, my friends, you know, there have been other people who I've lost in my life, but like you carry that person with you, right? Like I was very much with my friend, the way you were with James, like he got me, he was like my running buddy. He was like, you know, he knew me in a way that other people, I don't know, ever have or ever will. And I carry that, you know, and I don't know, part of what I do with my grief is I'm like, you know how I do these long walks stuff. I'm like talking to people, you know, I talk to him, I talk to my dad, I talk to my mom. I don't know what's what. It just makes me feel better. And yeah. it's not about anything other than what brings me comfort. And that can look different for everyone in every situation, you know? And there are, you know, it is, I think it was you who told me the expression that grief is just love with nowhere to go.
Oh, I don't think I told you that, but
oh, you didn't?
Gorgeous.
I love that. Cause that's what it is, right? It's when you want to be saying something to that person or they're on your mind and you're like, oh, I'll call when I get home or whatever it is. It's this love, this relationship, this love with nowhere to go. And that's, you know, that's just something like it, and you know, it's a bit, it's a serious case of time takes time, you know,
yeah.
It does change. How
it
is,
does.
Yeah. Do you do, does writing play a role in your processing grief?
You know, I was thinking about this. I'm not a journaler. I don't really journal.
Me neither.
And okay, that makes me feel better.
I've never journaled, and every writing teacher I've ever had told me I had to do it.
I know. And it's one of my favorite things about the first episode of season two of Single Drunk Female, when everyone gives Sam, the protagonist, everyone gives her a journal because like, she's a writer. She probably loves to journal. And she's like, I don't journal. I was like, this is so fucking perfect. Cause I have so many journals.
That's
because
true.
And it is a nice gift to give a writer. I don't use them, but
I put my tarot stuff in them. Like when I'm taking notes on tarot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But now I turned that into a Word document. So
that's my thing is like now I guess it is a form of journaling when like I will open up a Google Doc and I'll just like brain dump everything. And then I'm like, okay, this is usable. This is usable. Because I think now that my job is writing, I don't want to, it's difficult for me to write something for like as strictly catharsis. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it
for
does.
Me, I'm like, okay, well, like, can this be a newsletter? Can this be an essay in another book? Can I pitch this somewhere?
right.
But I guess,
that's true.
But I guess it still is the brain dump of throwing spaghetti at the wall. And it's like, maybe I'll use this for something. Maybe I just needed to get this out. I don't know. But it's all on Google Docs.
I love that. That's great. And I think too, like, you know, giving yourself, just being able to say, this isn't, you know, my way of grieving does not involve writing all this shit down. Right.
Yeah. And also normalizing, it's okay to be a writer who doesn't journal.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes, absolutely. We need to normalize that.
Let's destigmatize that, Lisa.
Yes. 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 Right now. So are you feeling now a few months out? Are you feeling better? Like if somebody is listening right now who has maybe experienced a major loss or experienced a quick run of losses, that kind of thing, is that what would you tell them sitting where you are now, you know, a little bit, like we're talking a couple months maybe.
Yeah,
even. It's still raw. But
it's
what would
question.
You what would you say?
I mean, I will say that my recovery has definitely prepared me for these kind of things where, and by that, I mean, you know, learning how to feel my feelings, learning it's okay to ask for help, learning that it's okay to talk about these things with loved ones and with mental health professionals. So I would say do whatever feels right in that regard. Maybe journaling will absolutely help you process. For me, even just talking about this with you is helpful for me. You know, like
yeah.
talking.
Well, talking is always helpful, I feel
it's
like.
It's super helpful. And even if you don't know what you're going to say, like we went into this podcast, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about because I haven't talked about it in a couple weeks, you know? So like, I don't know how I feel, but just talking about this right now, I'm like, I'm thinking maybe I do want to watch James's funeral now. Maybe I am ready.
Right.
You know, I'm having like some visceral reactions to what we're saying is like, fuck, I still am really sad. There still is a lot, you know, maybe I don't feel it every day, but it's still there. And like, maybe I need to make space to honor those feelings. Not, you know, like, I don't know what that means, but, and you know, there's grief support groups. There's grief. It look up, do what I did. Yeah. I looked up hashtag grief on Instagram, you know,
right. Like,
and I looked up grief on Instagram and I texted 988. I texted that.
Right. That's huge.
The mental health crisis line. I was like, I was literally laying in bed crying, texting 988, like, my friends keep killing themselves. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know how to handle this. And I was paired with a wonderful counselor. It's all free. This is free, free, free.
Free, free, free. Use it. Yeah.
I was paired with a wonderful mental health counselor who listened, who gave me resources. And that's it, you know? And
yeah.
And I just love that there's a text option because I don't think I would have called. But I love that I could like literally lay in bed, like crying under the covers, texting. That worked for me. So just remember that you're not alone and there are so many resources out there.
Yeah.
And then I would tell them to follow, you know, we'll put a link to Gina Maffa's Instagram. She has a lot of really great information on grief on her Instagram and her book comes out later this year. So just utilize, this is when the internet can be super helpful, is look up all the free resources that are there for you.
Yeah. And I would say like there's one more big piece for me that happens that I realize now, like when I'm going through a grief, when something has happened that really shakes me to the core. And there have been a couple of those things recently, not just in grief, but, you know, just some other stuff that has happened. And what I see in myself, what I notice is that I stop sleeping and I stop eating. And I thought it was just sort of a one-off a couple times, but then no, when I'm like in it. And so taking care of your physical self, like when I was able to finally see like that and go, wait a minute, I really only slept like 3 hours last night, or maybe I didn't sleep at all. And now I'm trying to go and I see what I'm not eating. Check your physical stuff. Try to make sure, do the best you can to get sleep. It can be hard, but do the best you can to get sleep, to eat right, to eat crappy, to eat whatever, but to eat and to, take your meds. Oh my God. If you're on meds, take your meds.
Take your meds. But, you know, that's a really good point. I made sure that I had to stick to my routine. Like I have to go, like I don't want to go to the gym. I have to go to the gym.
Like, yes. Like that.
Because,
yes.
Because I always feel like myself when I leave the gym and I want to feel like myself right now. So it's like, it really is keeping up. It's putting on your oxygen mask, right? It's like,
yes.
It's sleeping. It's drinking water. It's, you know, showering. Like when we're going
taking
through something,
care of yourself.
It's something this devastating can very easily jar you into just really throw you off your axis where you don't.
I was
know,
thinking that exact same term, like
really?
Knock you off your axis. That's it what can, it
like,
does.
Like you can forget to brush your teeth, you know, like it, it really is like you need to do those kind of things, like find support, but also like shower, get dressed. Like, even if it's just to go get the mail, like take a shower and like if you do these things to feel normal, it's going to help with the grieving process.
I think that's totally right. And yeah, it can help keep your if you're taking care of those physical things, like for you, movement and all of that, then it is sort of a guardrail against going down the emotional rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I have to be careful of that because I'll get sucked into that. So on this topic, music?
You know, to honor James, obviously, let's say Kiss.
Yes.
And, you know, one of his favorite bands, have you heard of King's X?
No.
I haven't either.
I'm gonna have to check them out. All right.
And it was always on my list. I was like, I'm going to listen to King's X just because James loves them. Maybe let's listen to King's X and see.
Have you listened yet? Or are you going to?
No, I still haven't.
Yeah. And when you're ready, you will.
You know, when I'm ready, but yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah. Yeah. I always, mopey song, or my like kind of griefy song, I guess, is Fell on Black Days, Soundgarden.
Yeah.
And sadly, Chris Cornell, right? You know, there's a darkness in that, in his music, that also I think I identified with, I think a lot of people.
Of course.
The, you know, yeah.
Of another, yeah. You know, another person who just couldn't fully recover, you know, like it just.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And so, you know, I think we keep in mind showing up for the other people in our lives around that person, but showing up for ourselves and taking care of ourselves. I'm glad you brought the oxygen mask up, because if we're not there for ourselves, we can't be there for anyone else, or to honor the memory of someone we love very much in the way that we would want to honor them.
Mm. That's the perfect note to end it on. And thank you for giving me space to keep to process this and talk about it.
This is your space.
It's an important conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for being so open and sharing. And if you're going through grief out there, as Tawny said, you're not alone. 988, you know, reach out and just don't try to do it by yourself.
Yes. You're not alone. Take care of yourself. Brush your teeth. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week. Hopefully on a lighter subject.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.